You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is for people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules, can come together to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. Today, Dr. Pat Harris is going to give us some tips for feeding forage to senior equids. I'm your host, Kim Brown, an editor of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this bi-weekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, social media, and much more. Dr. Harris is a past president of the British Equine Veterinary Association and is a European specialist in veterinary and comparative nutrition. She is the Equine Nutrition and Science Advisor to Mars Horse Care and Waltham Equine Studies Group, Waltham Pet Care Science Institute. Dr. Harris has spent much of the last 30 years working to help improve the care and nutrition of older horses. She also is passionate about seniors because of her dedication to her own older horses. Dr. Harris has advised on the care of many seniors and has authored numerous articles on their care. Her involvement in several global senior equine research teams gives her special insight into some of these studies. Dr. Harris is also on the Executive Advisory Council for My Senior Horse. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Harris.
Thank you very much for inviting me to talk on this very essential topic.
Well, Dr. Harris, we know that forage should be the foundation of every horse's diet. For senior horses, forage is very important. And today we're going to talk about, from your experience and your expertise, feeding forage to seniors. And I would like to start with, how do you choose the right forage?
Yeah, I think that absolutely choosing the right forage for your horse is the foundation of their diet. It is essential. And perhaps it's even more important when we talk about the older horse, because we've got added complications often to consider around their teeth, also about whether they've got any arthritis, do they have any other clinical issues that might affect which forage. You know, they may have been on a forage for much of their life, one type of forage, and as they get older, we need to think about changing. So I think that is a really good point. I think one of the challenges is that it's not possible for me in this podcast to say what's right for an individual animal, because that is going to depend on what you do with them. Because we know some senior horses are in work, some are retired, some are very healthy, others have conditions. So I think what I'm going to try and do is give a few tips, and then I would advise everyone to try and look on the website, because there's some excellent articles that will pick up on many of the topics I'm going to touch and perhaps give a bit more information. But we can at least cover a few areas.
Absolutely. And we'll make sure in the article that goes along with this podcast that we list down in the further reading section some of those articles that you mentioned. So here's a question that you have talked about before, and I would like to define it and talk about it. Is the forage you're looking at for your senior horse hygienic? What do you mean by that, and how do we know?
I think that's actually one of the first things to start, because when we're choosing our forage, I'm going to talk a little bit of what types of forage there are. But regardless of the type of the forage, you need to store it suitably so that when you feed it to your horse, it's of the best hygienic quality. Because especially as they get older, they're going to have more challenge to their lungs. They may have more risk of suffering from infections, etc. So we need to try and make sure we're providing them with good hygienic quality. Now, how do you tell is another challenge. I think we all know that if we pick up something and it's very dusty and it smells moldy, you probably shouldn't feed it. I think that if you're concerned, then it is worth getting it tested, because sometimes you can't see. And for individual animals, some of them, they are very sensitive. So if concerned, it's always worth talking to your vet or your specialist nutritionist and get the hay you're choosing. Other things you can think about is always start with the best quality hay you can get, hygienic quality or whatever else. But then you can think if your horse is prone to problems, well, soaking it. So soaking hay for just a short period of time may help because it swells some of those spores and they stick to the hay. So the horse ingests it rather than inhaling. But there are some issues with that because obviously if it dries out, they haven't actually destroyed the mould or the spores. And if the hay is so bad, it's not going to help. Another thing is, as people well know, is to use steaming. But the thing about steaming is you really need to make sure that the steamer you choose is working properly and it really gets to the temperature because it works by destroying those moulds. And it can only work if it gets to the right temperature and it's done properly. So, and then the other one you can do is the type, going back to that, what type of forage, you can consider to try and feed a haylage. And haylages tend to be much more hygienic, and so they can be very beneficial. But the trouble is they work by being wrapped to exclude air. Now, when you get that torn or it gets damaged, you get air in and that starts them going moldy effectively. How long it takes may vary, but every type, it's like life. There are pros and cons to everything. You need to make your forage match your horse's requirements, how you can store it, and what you can get is another component in that choice. I think the other thing is that we're going a little bit back off hygiene, but hygiene, that's a real important point. But the other thing is it needs to be of the right nutrient content for your horse. So, you know, if your horse is struggling to put on weight, you'll probably want to choose a less mature forage that is likely to be more digestible, maybe even more palatable, so that it will eat more because effectively they can be the best forage in the world, but if your horse won't eat it, it's not going to work. So, you know, you've got the more mature forages, they are better for the animal where you're trying to either maintain weight and enable them to have that forage around for the majority of the time, or you're trying to lose weight. But again, there are complications because if you've got a senior horse, as many of you listening may have, because of their teeth, they may not do well on that mature forage. And so you need to think then, well, you've got to balance because is it the stage now they're just not going to manage with that mature, they're not going to be able to chew. So either that creates problems or can increase the colic risk. So then you need to think about alternatives. So it's always making those decisions. And it's difficult because you can't look often. The more leafy tends to be more immature. The legumes, alfalfa, tends to be higher in protein, often more digestible. But it can be very variable. Warm season grasses tend to have lower WSC. Very important if your horse is getting older or has got insulin dysregulation. But they can be as high as a cool season grass. So often if you are concerned when you're choosing a forage is to talk to someone. If there are clinical issues in particular, talk to your vet, what type of forage, then talk to your nutritional advisor, or in the US you have some brilliant extension agents and they can help you choose locally the right type of forage for your horse. Often though, they're not going to be, if you have a specific issue, like we really want a low WSC, then you have to send it for analysis because it's really difficult to look at that forage and say, this is going to have that. And so sending it off can be very, very helpful. But even with WSC, if your vet's saying your horse really doesn't want to have any increase in insulin when they eat their forage, you need to test them. So there's layers between a healthy horse where you can, it's less challenging, still challenging choosing the right forage. But once you've got animals, as they're getting older, we're starting to have issues with teeth and other metabolic, then you have to have a bigger choice. You need to spend more time talking and getting advice to make that choice.
Now, those are so important. And we're going to talk about weight gain and weight loss, but let's start with how much do you feed? I mean, what is our foundation for that?
Yeah, again, very good question. I think in the past, we would say you fed ad libitum. Well, that was our goal. Let's take a healthy horse, not trying to lose weight. It's not prone to be putting on weight. In the past, we would probably said we try and feed ad libitum. So there's forage always there. I think the world is changing now because there's cost implications, environmental implications, and also sustainability. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to meet, in that healthy scenario, meet appetite and not providing excess that gets trodden in or wasted. But we're also trying to, so we're trying to meet appetite, as I said, we're trying not to cause waste, but we're also trying to ensure that there are not too long periods of time when the horse is not eating or foraging, i.e. in the process of chewing and eating. So I think when you're asking how much, it is all of those components. Now, however, because we're going to go back to what types of forage, because those differences we've mentioned before, we've got grass, we've got hay, we've got haylage, all of them have different amounts of water in them. So you can't just weigh and say you must give that amount of forage because it will really vary. So hay, for example, we want hay to be of 15% or less water. Going back to hygiene, at 15% or less, hays are less at risk of going moldy. Once they have more than 15% of water, they are at increased risk. So hay, roughly 15% water. Haylages, we just talked about that choice. Haylages, they can vary from 50% water to around 20% water or even less. And it's really difficult to tell again by looking. So the only way really is to get your dry matter analysed or to know what type of haylage. Now, why is that important? It's important because the recommendations we currently have work on dry matter rather than how much you feel or as fed, as we call it. So the dry matter means we can compare and give advice whether it's a hay or a haylage, or whether it's a wet haylage or a dry haylage. And based on that, we can say roughly how much dry matter a horse wants. And then you can approximate. If you know your haylage is wet and dry, you can work out what that is as weight you put in a hay net or in a hay box or whatever. So having said that, that's the reason why we work on dry matter. We say you should feed this amount of dry matter. And we recommend, going back to my original, appetite is quite variable, but gain around 2% of the body weight dry matter is what we're wanting to achieve. But the minimum we recommend for psychological, physiological is 1.5%. Because the horse has evolved to chew forage, it needs to chew forage. It needs to chew forage for its psychological, for the whole of the processes within its gut, we need to give it forage. So in general, 1.5% on a dry matter basis is how much we recommend is the minimum you should feed. For other horses, that 2% is great. But I can warn you, if you allow some ponies to eat as much as they like, they can eat up to 5% of their body weight. And they will then tend to get overweight. So that's a good starter.
Mars Equestrian
a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antech Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
Now, when we're on, you want to talk about weight loss. First thing that we would tend to do is to go, if the teeth are fine, to that more mature forage and restrict it to that 1.5%, because we don't want to go below that if we don't need to. First thing would to be to do, if it was a pony, maybe go down from 5% to 2%. But for your normal horse, go down to that 2%, then to 1.5%, and then change to a more mature forage, a more mature forage that is going to take them longer to chew, has a lower calorie content. And then if that is still their overweight, that's when you talk to your vet, your nutritional support, and we can start reducing the forage. But as I said, it is so important for the horse that they spend time chewing and they don't have long periods of time without forage, that as soon as you start restricting forage, you need to think of ways of ensuring they spend enough time chewing. So this are things like using hay nets or hay boxes or lots of environmental enrichment, maybe track systems, whatever the system is, to try and help to reduce the intake, but to make sure that at least during daylight hours, especially in those that are stabled, that they don't go more than sort of 4 to 5 hours without forage. So when your question was right back originally, you know, how much do they need? It's not just the amount, it's when we feed it and how we feed it, and making sure that we work with the horse's gut and with its needs and not just feed it to suit our timetable.
Well, and something else you and I were talking about before we started the podcast today, in the U.S., we've just had a horrible cold system come through. So it's fine to say, okay, I'm feeding my fat horse or I'm feeding my normal horses this or whatever. But when we're faced with some of these outside forces, you know, we have to stop and consider, and we can't do it the day of. So we need to kind of prep the horses. You have talked about this before, but walk us through this, because there's still a lot of people without heat and electricity. And please try and get your horses water at, you know, just make sure that they always have access to, you know, water that is of a suitable temperature. So,
yeah, I think this is a really good point. I mean, horses do tend to prefer a temperature. And so you're right. And they can't drink when it's frozen. And we all know that. So we need to make sure that the frozen, that we get rid of it. I think with hay, the same thing applies. And I'm going to go off topic slightly, but if we're talking about some of our older horses, where to give them that fiber they need, that forage is a short chop or as soaked pellets, we're often soaking them. Now, in this weather, the problem is they freeze very quickly. So you have to try, and often we need to use hot water, but then it may freeze even more quickly. So you're going to have to do small meals to make sure that they are not frozen when they're eating it. As far as hay, I think this is another really good point. One thing is that over a longer period of time, hay and forage are a really good source, because as you digest hay and forage, you release more heat. So it's internally heating. So it's like having your breakfast porridge. It does give the horse. So we should be thinking of perhaps, especially those that are prone to losing weight, to upping the amount of forage that they have available. But the problem is, if they're under 12 inches of snow, they can dig, but if it's frozen, they can't. So I think it's also making sure that they can get access to that hay. And the fact that if it is very frozen, some horses will not eat it. So again, you need to keep your hay nets somewhere, if possible, where it is kept not frozen, and you go out more frequently to change it over and to give them fresh hay. They are amazing. They are, evolutionally, they have a different temperatures that they can cope with than we do, and they tend to be able to cope with lower temperatures. Don't forget that if you put a rug on it, some of those rugs crush the coat, and so it's not as thermal. So sometimes that pony is better without a rug on, providing they don't get very, very wet. But it's really, I think your point at this time, everybody who's listening to us, is also about feet, looking at those snowballs. Is that having a problem? Because if they can't get to the forage, they can't reach it because they're being prevented, especially if they're the older horses. Again, there's no point having forage if the horse doesn't eat it. And that leads me to a couple of things, is that I mentioned very straight on that hygiene, really important storing. And this, I think, is that hot and cold weather is part of that storage story. But also, watch your horses. I think, if I had to say one thing, is watch how your horse goes to that forage. See how it chews it. That gives you so much information about whether there's a problem. Is it really struggling to pull hay out of that hay net because it's got arthritis or pain in its back? What about its teeth? Is it quidding? Looking at the horse. And again, I mentioned about percentages, and we give some examples in on the website, but you need to measure how much your horse is eating. You can provide it. And again, if there are many horses eating, watch to check your horse is not being bullied. It's not being pushed. So I can give this 1.5%, 2%, but actually you have to look at your horse and your forage and check it's getting it and it's not being prevented.
Now, that's a great point, Dr. Harris. We have a herd of 11, and we have some, you know, we've got a mini that's, well, it's a donkey and it has ID. I think that's just redundant to say. But, and then we have one with PPID, and we have a, you know, yearling, and we have, and, you know, the whole order of hierarchy. And so we, you know, move horses so that they, and this is something that we've talked to others on our podcast about, is to make sure and watch your horses, observe them. So if your horse is at the bottom of the pecking order and is getting pushed off, how do you accommodate that horse at feeding time so that it can still be with its herd, but that it can have the ability to eat until it takes in the amount that it should have?
Yeah, and for me, feeding, when my horse lost her teeth, so we're now talking about alternatives to the long forage, we had to build little separate pens, but she needed her companion next door, so they had to come in and have their feed so that she could have her feed. And another thing I wanted to pick up is you mentioned mules, and I think we need to be aware that I've talked about hay, haylage, and pasture. Now, donkeys and mules can often manage on the majority of their forage is straw because they don't need as much of the calories and they can manage very well. Again, though, it needs to be a good hygienic quality, needs to be stored properly. And the other thing is that if you're trying to lose weight in our horses and ponies, especially ponies, you can add some clean straw both into the long fiber, but you can also add a little bit of soft, hygienic, short chopped straw into their feed to make it last longer. So they think they're getting as big a feed as their next door neighbor, but actually they're getting far less calories. The problem is that with horses and ponies and certain individuals, you must remember to introduce straw gradually. They seem to have to learn to chew it properly so that they don't increase the risk. And there are some individuals that straw just does increase the risk of colic, but it can be a very useful type of forage to add up to about 30 to 50% for me into our horses and ponies' diet. but donkeys can go up to 100%. Why do we don't in horses? Certainly, there is a potential of increased risk of ulcers in horses if straw becomes the main forage source. But hygiene, right back to that first point, yeah, still needs to be hygienic. And then one other really important point is we've talked a lot about forage, not necessarily knowing its nutrient content, having choose the right for WSC, but also protein and energy. But when I talk about protein, and I mentioned alfalfa has better protein or the legume, you do need to remember that most forages, certainly many in the UK, are not nutritionally balanced. Even if you got an analysis, they're just not going to be nutritionally balanced. So once you start feeding, and most horses can manage on a virtually 100% forage diet, they will require a forage balancer because they will require additional vitamins, minerals, storage. You can lose massive amount of vitamin E on storage. Say, you know, and haylage can have very low levels. So really, we need to think about the vitamins, the vitamins, minerals. So you need a balancer. Once you start soaking hay to get rid of the WSC, or you can't get rid of it, reduce it, you also lose more of the water-soluble components in that forage. So it's choosing your forage and then choosing the right balancer to balance that forage is really key.
Yeah, and that's so important. We have a, you know, and there are a lot of different kinds. Talk to your nutritionist or your vet to learn, you know, more about what hay you're feeding and what balancer you need, because you don't want to overdo some things or underdo others. But I want to mention to our audience, we had talked a little bit about horses and being able to get the, you know, eat their feed, their forage, their grass, their hay. And in upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk to an equine veterinary dentist who's going to talk to us about the common types of issues that older horses have. And then we're going to invite Dr. Harris and one of her colleagues back, and we're going to talk about the way that you feed these horses that have the various dental problems. So we're not ignoring that today. We just know it's important enough to do more about it in the future.
Yes. I mean, I think that's one of the big choices of our senior horses. There is a time at which they can no longer manage long preserved forage. They can sometimes manage on the grass as it's softer, it's got more moisture, just as I said before. But again, there is time when they will quit and they can't manage on that. And I think we're going to go through that in our next podcast. So today we're more concentrating on those animals before they get to that stage where we're trying to think to provide them with enough forage of the right type, of the right hygiene to suit their needs. And I think it is so important because, as I said, a majority of horses that are not in hard competition can manage on a forage-only diet. And some horses in competition can manage on a forage-only diet with a balancer. They're individuals, the same as you and I, Kim, but they are individuals.
I determined the other day, I think I have donkey genes because I can put on weight with just about any feed. So is there anything else that you would like to mention about feeding forage to senior equids?
I think the one point we haven't brought up is changing your forage gradually. Now, I think we all know, and everyone talks about changing over feed gradually, but I think there is a lot of work to suggest that we need to do that with our forage as well. And perhaps, although there is very little evidence, but perhaps some of our individual horses get less able to cope with a rapid change of forage. So I think whenever possible, try and change your forage over gradually. And hay, preserved so it's dry, you can do that over probably even up to 2 weeks. The risk of colic goes out to about 2 weeks after the change of forage. I think with haylage, the work we're doing is probably we've got to balance it with the fact that we don't want to leave it out to increase the risk of any hygienic issues. But certainly you still want to try and do it over a 3 or a 4 day period if you can, to just gradually allow them. And it may be less important if you're not making a major change. So if you're changing from one bale or field of a meadow grass to another field that's very similar type and makeup of that grass, it may be not as bad or at risk than if we're really making big changes between a very, very immature hay to a very mature hay, or a very mature hay to a very immature hay. I think most horses are really good at being able to cope with those minor changes. Individual animals can't, but if we give them just too much of a change or too rapid a change, their gut microbiome, their whole physiology can't cope, and then we increase the risk. So I think for me, just things that everyone listening takes for granted, but storing properly, making sure hygiene, changing over rapidly, slowly, not changing over rapidly, I think trying to work with what your horses need, and remember, as they get older, those needs will change. So some horses have been able to manage because they're a good doer. They've been able to manage on that more mature hay. And suddenly, as they get older, they can't manage. And you're going to have to think about trying to introduce a more digestible hay or feeding them more. If their appetite will allow them to eat more, you can start by feeding them more of what you're currently on. If, however, that their appetite, they're at their appetite limit, and they still, before you reach to a lot of other things, think about, is it possible to change over the forage, taking into account any clinical issues, and perhaps checking with your vet if there are any constraints to how what you can do.
Such good tips. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Harris.
Thank you. And yes, I'm sorry, we probably could chat for much longer on all of these aspects, but I hope it's just given a flavour of some of the things to consider. And again, please go back. There's lots of articles that pick this up on the My Senior Horse website.
And we will make sure I include links to those. And we encourage our listeners to sign up today for our weekly newsletter so that you can be the first to get information from My Senior Horse and remind you about some of these great articles we have online. And if you have comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have discussed in this podcast or delved into for content on myseniorhorse.com, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter kbrown, @equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.